My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a big day.
And when it takes the edge off the nervous energy, because you said you are like quietly optimistic or
cautiously
yeah. optimistic. I apologize. I am nervously optimistic because, you know, you are going to Seattle and the crowd on a Thursday night is going to be lathered and ready, and it's not an easy place to play no matter what the matchup is or how good you are or how they're mediocre or whatever.
No, it's not an easy game. Yeah, it's a division game. It's the Seattle Seahawks, who are not great, but they're not a joke around the league either. You know, they're 3-2, and the 49ers are not a juggernaut. And as Ron Rivera told us yesterday, they're missing a piece of their identity. You know what I mean? Like, I get where people look at the offense and go, it's good enough. They've scored enough. They've gotten leads. Purdy's playing well. You've got your receivers. And Jordan Mason is putting up great numbers. How can that not be enough? But it's an interesting point that he brings up, which it's also like it's a core piece. And so whatever you're doing, I do think that the 49ers, and this is an interesting point that he made yesterday, which is they can function, they can score, they can get first downs, they can move the ball. It doesn't mean they're in their comfort zone. So I think that's what he was getting at. And so maybe, especially when it comes to what we've seen in the red zone, maybe we should be accounting for that a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? Like, they sort of feel like you feel when you start a job for the first 2 weeks. I love this job. This job's going great. Now, where's the bathroom? I don't even know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're a little out of sorts. And I would argue that in some quarters, not all, that's kind of how they've looked so far this year.
A little bit. And I think that the red zone is the number one area where you feel like you are missing it the most. And I'm just looking at last year, and I glanced at the number, and I had forgotten how big the number was. You realize that he scored 21 touchdowns last year?
There's a reason he's the number one overall pick in everybody's fantasy
draft.
Dude,
he scored 21 touchdowns. And I'm counting. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 18 of them came in the red zone. Only 3 touchdowns were greater than 20 yards, which would indicate that those touchdowns were outside the red zone.
Yes.
So we want to talk about red zone inefficiency. Look no further than not having number 23, who scored 21, 18 of which were red zone touchdowns.
But they got to figure it out, because I would argue, like, you're going to play, I think, I don't know this, this is not a report, I think you're going to play at least 3 more games without him. And they're huge games.
I think it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. But I think in their back of their mind, they at least have to have that as what's very, very probable, at least 3 more games without him. And I think for any 49er fan to sort of feel comfortable about the second half of the season, you're going to have to win at least 2 of those 3. So by no stretch is this either of us saying that the Niners therefore have an excuse to not figure it out. They got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. And I really do. I feel, yes, cautiously, but optimistic that tonight's the night. And I know that we've now fallen into, because of the stats, it's like, okay, in November, they're good. Well, here's what I would argue about the Kyle Shanahan 49ers in the last 5 years. Not the whole era, but the last 5 years, once they got good. I would argue that the 49ers, largely in the regular season, figure it out, not based on a date, but when they have to. They have been very, very good when it comes to, dude, chop chop, it is time to figure it out. Now, I don't know if that means you can just snap your fingers and figure it out, but I'm just, without anything in front of me, I'm thinking about a lot of big moments over the last 5 years where you went into a game with this feeling that we all have right now. This feeling where it's like, dude, you guys have got to play well tonight. You've got to do it. I can't think of one of those that they didn't go win. Can you?
I mean, probably not. I mean, in terms of the great import, and I'm looking at 2022 right now when they were 3-4, and that was the Jimmy's getting bench game.
Yes, and against the Rams,
they
right?
went to L.A. and won that game, and the Rams had to go to a silent count.
Wasn't that here? I thought that was here.
I'm showing it at L.A.
Okay, you're
week
probably right.
Week 8, October 30th, again, before Halloween, but that was a game that you won going into the bye, and then you came out of the bye, and you won all the games.
All of them.
Your next loss was when Brock's arm fell off at Philadelphia. So that's a game where you had to figure it out, and the game at the end of the season, I think it was 2021, right, when they had to go out there and win the last game.
You're blending seasons here, because the Monday night against the Rams, Jimmy's about to get benched game. Jimmy didn't get benched when Brock played. Jimmy got hurt when Brock played against Miami. I think it's the year before, Jimmy was about to get benched for Trey Lance.
Correct. They were 3-5. Yes. That was a home game.
Yes, and they were playing on a Monday night, and Jimmy was going to lose his gig if they didn't win that game, and they went out and won by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, 2022 was when they went to the Rams at 3-4.
Yes.
And they won that game.
Yes, and I think of the last game of the regular season when Jimmy took them to the NFC Championship game with a drive in the fourth quarter to win that football game. I even sort of put last year's game in Philadelphia in this bucket where you're like, hey, you got some demons that you need to exercise here. No, it wasn't a must win. They were 8-3.
Yeah.
But it was certainly a must win if you wanted home field advantage. And they put a lot on it. Like, that's maybe the more important point.
Right.
They put a lot on it, and they came out and they played great. And I think that they, as far as regular season games, that game in Philly last year was the last time that the Niners put this much importance on a football game, and they were great, and the next time they do that is tonight.
I would say the Baltimore game on Christmas, they put that much into it because that was a Super Bowl preview in many people's eyes, and it almost was, and it probably should have been if Baltimore didn't decide not to run the ball in the AFC playoffs. And
it's interesting.
That is a game I think that they put this much into it because it was a primetime holiday nation's eyes on you showdown and a possible Super Bowl preview.
But they didn't need it. They clearly didn't need it.
Well, turned out they didn't need it.
Yeah, they won they had the one seed anyway. Like I get what you're saying.
Well, I don't think the Philadelphia game for me doesn't qualify either because they were already rolling and looking back, it only feels bigger because Philadelphia was broken in that game.
Okay, agree to disagree based on the fact that, A, it was clear that home field advantage was off the table if you lost that game, but more so, they very much wanted to avenge the situation that had happened in Philadelphia the year before. I'm basing a lot of this even on the documentary that many of us watched in the offseason, and you could see the ramp up to that Eagles game where the 49ers were emotionally charged. The game against the Ravens, I think we put that on there because remember, we were like, MVP, who wants it? This quarterback or that quarterback? It's Christmas. It's a Super Bowl preview. But at the same time, the Niners didn't have the one seed on the line. Like, I hear them in the locker room this week saying, not a must win, but must win. I hear them saying that. And so, like, I hear where you're coming from. I really do. But I would argue in the games that they've sort of done that, in the Kyle Shanahan last 5 years, the games where they've walked in and been like, we have got to win tonight, they have done very, very well. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to trust that even though there are still people out and there are X's and O's reasons to be concerned tonight, there's no question about that, I'm going to believe until I see otherwise that the 49ers are going to find a pitch at least that's good enough to get Seattle to swing and miss tonight.
Well, they should be able to do that no matter how big the game is because they're better than Seattle. And we can get into the pick and deeper thoughts when we decide to fade the Dibbers later in the program. But just look at the injury report and you're going to have Kittle. He's going to play and Fred Warner is going to play, even though Fred is probably still a little bit dinged up. Seattle's injury report is almost 2 pages long, and they're coming off a game where, you know, they lost to the Giants and they had a chance to tie it with a minute left, but they look a little discombobulated in their approach offensively. Having talked to the old Dave Softy Mahler yesterday from up there in Seattle, normally he's a lot more cocky and self-confident going into these games, and he is cautiously pessimistic, I would say, about Seattle's chances in this football game.
Yeah,
tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you watch, and again, this is what all of us do, we don't really, unless you're one of these crazy NFL fans, none of us can claim to have wonderful knowledge of the opponent. You and I watch a lot of football. I watch a lot of Red Zone, and Red Zone does not show you the entire game. But if you do dive into the results and the performances of the Seattle Seahawks so far this year, they're fine. They're fine. I would argue they've not had any games yet where you came away and went, that was impressive. And maybe you'd feel that way against by the Niners too. I was on opening night. On opening night, I walked out of there and I went, that was impressive.
Yeah, they dominated that team.
And no Christian McCaffrey.
Well, that team turns out to not be as good as what we thought going into that game.
I guess. That's fair.
And they've now fired their head coach and demoted their offensive coordinator, sure, which I thought would have been the smarter move. But it's clear that the quarterback wanted a new head coach and he wanted a new play caller. So the Jets are in a certain amount of turmoil at 2-3.
I think this is sort of a simplistic day as far as our conversation with you. Let's just kind of get the energy going toward the game and find out how you're feeling. How you're feeling. Whether you want to say that's confidence or worry or whatever word you would pick. How are you feeling as we approach this one? None of us thought that in week 6 we would have this amount of angst about a football game, but here we are, and we do. So we wonder how you're feeling. Let's go to Skills in Vallejo. Hi, Skills. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me, Willard and Dibs. Let me just preface this real quick by saying, no disrespect to anyone who's ever battled addiction, but I was originally going to call in and say the 49ers been playing like they just did crack. Then I remembered that crack keeps you awake for days at a time. What the 49ers are doing is actually more like sleepwalking, which is how a caller from the Morning Roast described them the other day. And Brian Baldinger was right, too. They've been playing slow. Something is off. And it's almost like they're thinking to themselves, hey, we always start bad, but turn on when we have to. And maybe they're right. Maybe they'll run off 8 in a row. But I don't see it. I mean, those previous teams, they weren't ravaged by injuries and the internal IU crap to the same level that this team is, losing 4 out of 6 meaningful games if you go back to the Super Bowl. And I'll just leave you guys with this. If Seattle wins tonight, it's time for John Lynch to start rolling heads, because if your socks are dirty, do you keep wearing them just because there's no clean ones in the drawer? That's a resounding no for me, dog.
Skills, could you give us a little bit more about what that means, though?
Which head would roll?
Yeah, if they lose, what is it exactly you'd like the organization to do?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You got to start with that defensive line. It depends on how they lose tonight. The defensive line has been a big disappointment.
Yep.
And I know you just can't. You got to look and see what you can do to make changes on that line. See if you can bring in some safety, make some changes to safety. Just do something different than what you've been doing, because it's not working.
Skills, thanks. First of all, he's right. Like, not all losses are built the same. So if it were to happen tonight, you got to look at that.
Let's say if they lose the same way that they've lost the last two games, which is running back in a game that you were unable to put away, starts to gash you in the second half. James Conner, Kyren Williams, they both had pretty good second halves, yep, against a defense that has looked a little bit vanilla.
And you got a very good running back on this team tonight. A
couple of them.
Kenneth Walker's fantastic.
Yeah, 5 carries last week. He should be fresh. Yeah. But if you look
a lot of catches, but yes.
If this loss goes the way that loss, the last couple of losses have gone, then I don't think heads will roll, but you got real hard questions to ask.
Well, what are your options?
You have any option. You can fire the defensive coordinator. No, you can flip-flop. You can Like, you can do a lot of different things.
Right, but
is that the solution? No.
At some level, the same way, none of you think the Jets are fixed. They made heads roll, and no one's like, oh, now they're going to win. So in other words, no matter what you think about any coach, no matter what anybody's opinion about any coach is, the personnel is a very large piece of what's going on. So if that group that you're talking about goes out and performs poorly tonight, from a personnel standpoint, your options are what?
Your options are to change out the coordinator if you think that that is going to jumpstart the room, which is what the Jets have done. And I would argue that the Jets are a better team today than they were 2 days ago.
I don't know how we know that.
Well,
I
mean, it seems like their quarterback is happier, and it seems like their offense is going to be going in a different direction, and it's his direction. So I would think that the Jets are going to start playing better on offense.
I don't know about that. I mean,
personnel-wise, there's nothing you can do, really. Okay. Although there was Matt Barrows had a piece in The Athletic about a possible trade target where you would bring in a defensive end, much like they did last year. And so that's something you can do ahead of the deadline. You can bring in new players. You've done it before.
Sure. I don't know if this is something that's going to happen in the next 10 days before Mahomes gets to town. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you're optionless. I just think, especially early in a season, I feel when things aren't going well, teams would rather try to sort of like tweak and make adjustments with what they do have rather than start firing people. And firing, I even mean by the players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is one move that you can make. I don't know if they'll make it tonight, but like, would you bench Devondre Campbell and put D. Winters in there?
Well, you'd like to, but D. Winters has not shown the ability to make it through an entire game.
That's a fair response.
And Devondre Campbell, he played 100% of the snaps against Arizona. So what we think of Devondre Campbell is different than what they think and different than what Greg Cosell thinks, because Greg Cosell is somebody who thinks he's playing pretty well.
Well, I don't know what the 49ers think, because as you just said, like, that, I don't know what other options there are. You know, the 49ers would love to put Dre Greenlaw in. That's what they'd like to do.
Yep.
Not on the table. Maybe it will be a little bit later. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, you somewhere along the line here, and yes, you can do things schematically. You can tweak. You can tighten. All of that is true. But the Niners they have are going to have to play better football. They're just that like they're going, or else it's not going to be a good year.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play better. And the point I guess I'm trying to make is, in the past, that yes, different people, but this team with this base of a coaching staff has done that before. You know, Ron Rivera kept telling us yesterday, like, these first five games, six games, seven games, as a coach, you're figuring out, okay, what works well, what doesn't work well, where do I need to make some moves? You know, we are a little bit too, or maybe not far removed enough from a 5-0 start, and sort of like think that that's the way it's supposed to start. It usually doesn't. I get that in their Super Bowl years it has, but it usually does not just start out that easy.
Should be 4-1.
They should be.
And they're not. So, correct. Which makes tonight all the more important, because you're not. If you were 4-1, this game would not have the same level of need. Because, yeah, you lose your 4-2, you're still leading the division if you hadn't lost those other two games.
Correct.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.